Now back to when you and Aunt Carolyn got married, like 1949, I think, when we left off.
Well, there's one thing that I did, I forgot. I lived with my mother and father. We lived upstairs, had a complete apartment up there. And the state prison was about a mile and a half from our house. And back in those days, they would work the prisoners out on the farm. And occasionally one would escape and he'd come through the woods and come up the fence row onto daddy's property out there, and at night you'd find them sleeping in the barn and down at the mill. It was quite an experience to wake up and find a prisoner on your property out there, and you didn't know whether he had a gun to kill you or what he would do. And as soon as we saw one, we'd call the prison and tell them the location of it, and they recaptured quite a few of those people that were slipping through the woods out there trying to escape.
Well, how long did you live at Gunnersville with her parents?
We lived there about 5-6 years, I don't know exactly, and our oldest daughter, we were living upstairs, and it was a crooked stairway coming downstairs. And one day our oldest daughter had the next daughter in her arms, and it wasn't too much difference in their age, and it was just scared us to death. She was coming downstairs holding the baby in her arms, and we said then it was time for us to go find us a home. And at that time they were building a new section out in East Montgomery they called Forest Hills. And my wife and I went out one day and house looking, and we rolled all over there and finally found a house that we wanted. And we moved out there in the early 50s and stayed there. And I went into the insurance business and stayed in the insurance business for several years. And I just got to where I didn't like that. And having the experiences I did in World War II and raised the son of a lumber manufacturer, I knew a good bit about construction and so forth, so I went and joined the Corps of Engineers, Civil, and I stayed with the Corps of Engineers from 1963 until 1978. And I retired from the Corps of Engineers in 1978.
Was that a Forest Hill that you went to?
Forest Hill.
Forest Hill? How long did you live there?
Forest Hill, that's what I say. We lived there from 1950 to 1970. Till 1981, that's when we left and moved to the lake up here where we are now in Lake Martin.
Okay, from me coming up here a lot when I was little and stuff, and going down in your basement playing pool, and you have that picture of those old war picture hanging above the pool table on the side of the wall. Didn't you do that?
Well, from memory, I didn't have anything to go by, but from the memory of the planes that I saw overhead in World War II, I could remember well, and I didn't know whether they were going to shoot at us or drop a bomb on us or what. But I could tell what was an American plane or a German plane quick. And several years ago, I just got to thinking about it one day, and I got my drawing material out, and I drew a picture of two different types of German planes, and then I have a picture of an American plane that I drew from memory. And then on the wall up in our hallway here at the house, I have a cloth painting that I did with plain colors like the kids use out of a box. And I painted it when I was in the 10th grade taking art at Sidney O'Neill High School in Montgomery. And we would paint the picture and take a hot iron and rub over this, and it would seal it, And that's the way the thing is still today, after all those years. It's still just in perfect shape.
What's it, a picture?
It's a picture of a knight on a horse riding along a big block wall, like they did years and years ago at these big castles.
Okay, I forgot to ask you about your golf. I noticed that you've got a lot of golf trophies and stuff and pictures around the house. Tell me how you got into golfing a little bit.
Well, when I lived with Mother and Daddy out close to Gunner Field back then, it wasn't a military air base. It was the city municipal airport, and they had a golf course out there. And I only lived about a half a mile from it. And I would walk up there and watch them play golf, and then I started carrying back in those days. They didn't have golf carts like they do now. I started carrying the bag, carrying, and it didn't take me long that I liked that game. So I went home one day and told Daddy, I said, "Daddy, would you please buy me a set of golf clubs?" He said, "If you'll get out and work for them, then I'll buy them." And that's the way it was back in those days. And he said, "Mom and Daddy didn't pass everything on them to you for nothing. You got out and worked for it." And I surely did. I worked at the mill down there, and Daddy bought me a set of golf clubs, and I started playing golf the day that he bought them. And at that time, over the years, I have gotten to be what I call a fair golfer, and I've won several tournaments, and I got to the point, I guess, at my best stage of golf. They had a statewide tournament that they called the State Olympic Tournament, and I won that among many of the other tournaments that I have won over the state in those years. And but as you grow older, your golf game begins to get away from you a little bit, your eyesight and your ability to hit the ball distance and reach the green and regulations. So I've added some scores that are much higher than I did back in those days, but I still thoroughly enjoy the game of golf, and I play every chance that I possibly can now.
With you being left-handed, was it hard to find golf clubs for you?
No, my dad, of course, he knew I was left-handed, and he bought me a set of left-handed clubs. I think he had to order them through, I've forgotten now where he did get them, but I got them. And back then you could get a little pull golf cart, which I still have in my basement right now, that I started playing golf and pull my bag and my clubs with me. And that thing, I hate to say how old it is, but when I was still in school, I was pulling my clubs with a golf cart, walking cart. There's something else that I forgot to tell you about. It's like I keep going back and telling things that I missed. But when we lived at the little town of Eccles, my father was in the lumber business. And this was back in the 30s, and even before the 30s, in 1926, they started building a dam they called Martin Dam up above Eclectic. And my father furnished quite a bit of the lumber that went into the construction of that dam. And that dam was completed in 1926, and they started backing the water up, and when it got full, it was the largest man-made lake in the world. Of course, nowadays there's a lot of them, a lot larger, but that was a big lake then, and it has 750 miles of shoreline around this lake. And it brings back a lot of good old memories for me, and that's one of the many reasons that I moved back up here, and I hope to stay here the rest of my life, which I hope is about another 100 years.
What's it been like living on the lake, Alice?
Man, I love it every minute of it. Especially during the weekends when there's not too many boats running. Loud noise. It's good and quiet. That's one reason we picked a place down in the end of the slough. And it's quiet down here. We can get out and do things that we want to do around and not be bothered by 3 o'clock in the morning when these fishermen like I used to do get out and bother people taking up these motors and going up the lake 40 miles an hour wide open in a boat to go fishing. Yeah, we thoroughly enjoyed it, and I hope I'll live up here for many more years.
What was it like having your kids grow up on a lake?
They love it. Every one of them loved the lake, and one of them got, my youngest son right now has bought his, since his grandmother died, has bought her place 5 doors up from us on the lake. And he had already bought a lot over on another part of the lake they called Trillium 2. And real expensive lot and expensive territory. And, but after his mother died and the age of his mother and daddy, his grandmother died, he decided to buy her house. And he's in the process of rebuilding and remodeling that house now. And he thoroughly enjoys the lake, and every chance he gets, he's in that boat and gone out on the lake. He was a, did you punch it off? When he was growing up, he was an excellent steer. And downstairs, we have, I don't know how many trophies that he won. We would haul him around over to these state tournaments. And he could barefoot ski. He won slalom skiing first place, jump ski in first place, trick ski in first place, and he could ski barefooted and turn around and ski barefooted backwards, sideways, you name it, he could do it on. And he was down with a group one day down at a little place below Wetumpka on the Coosa River, and they were swinging on a vine off of the bank out into a lake. And when the man would drop off, the line would swing back to him, and one day Joe missed the line. And he fell about 30 feet down the embankment, landed and tore up his right ankle and leg. And for a long time that cut out his skin, but he'll still do it right now today. He's back at it, and he'll ski backwards, forward. Anyway, they barefooted.
What about that time he got hurt skiing?
Oh, that was the time that he got hurt, when he fell off of that bank. It drove his leg, his foot, ankle, and the bottom part of his foot just drove it up into his leg and just splintered the bone. And today, this ankle is fused, and he has a steel rod that goes through his foot from the bottom up his leg. And it replaces bone structure.